Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Playing Fleetwood Mac today, Christine McVie died. News broke this afternoon. She was 79 years old. Her family said she had a short illness. That's all we know about that. But love, relationships, lost love, breakups, all part of her lyrics and some of the greatest songs for sure. 70s, 80s, incredible music of that era. So we'll hear more of that, and we'll have a guest on, too, to learn more about the impact of Christine McVie and Fleetwood Mac coming up at 5 o'clock. Lots of giveaways today. We've got Pink tickets sometime in this show. Pink performing at Target Field. And it's also Wolves Wednesday, so we're giving away Timberwolves tickets in advance. They're not for tonight's game, but the Wolves are at Target Center tonight at 7 against Memphis. And we'll have coverage, of course, like we do of every game here on the home of the Wolves, News Talk 830 WCCO. Breaking news overnight in the fight against Alzheimer's. But if you're trying to figure out if this is good news or disappointing news, then you're with me. The coverage of a big research clinical study on a drug that we were hoping would make a big difference in slowing the initial symptoms of Alzheimer's. The study came out, the results came out today, and I suppose I would characterize it as disappointing. I'm curious what Dr. Ronald Peterson, the director of the Mayo Clinic Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, would have to say about it. Dr. Peterson is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Doctor, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Is disappointing a fair way to characterize kind of what we've found out about this new drug?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I guess I'm more upbeat about this than the disappointing. I think that this drug does, it's a first step in the right direction of a drug that may actually slow the progression of the disease, as you described. That's huge. That's a disease-modifying effect. So I'm upbeat about it.
The drug is called, how do you pronounce the name of this drug?
Lecanemab.
Lecanemab. And there was some release from its manufacturers, Eisai and Biogen, a couple of months ago that sort of led to excitement about it. There is benefit, and I suppose this is a good cautionary case for those of us who are hopeful for, you know, you can look at this as a patient, you can look at this as a doctor prescribing medication, and you can look at this as a researcher working towards finding answers. And I think depending on where you are on that continuum, you might have a different reaction, right?
I think that's right. I mean, I think most importantly, we have a responsibility to our patients to be honest with them. Since we've not had a drug that really modifies the course of the disease until now, assuming this is going to be approved by the FDA, I think that's an uplifting message.
Yeah. Why has it been so challenging to figure out how to slow the progression or block the progression of Alzheimer's disease?
Well, Alzheimer's disease is a complex disorder. It's not that, you know, it's not like we got one bug, we give an antibiotic, and it goes away. This is a complex disease that involves network failures in the brain. And it's generally characterized by two proteins, amyloid and tau, that are deposited in the brain and cause the damage. But these two proteins do not exist alone. As most people, aging is the biggest risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. And as people age, they may develop Alzheimer's, but they may develop a bunch of other things too. So there are other things that go wrong in the brain. We got vascular disease, little strokes, things of that nature. Another protein that's associated with Parkinson's disease called Lewy bodies. Another protein called TDP-43. So given that many of these are operating at the same time, if we're able to attack one of these targets, that may give us a modest effect. And I think that's where we are right now. But it is a step in the direction.
They studied this over 18 months, pretty big, 1,800 patients or so with mild symptoms. And Alzheimer's is one of those things that, you know, each patient seems to have sort of a different progression. But often there's this early onset phase where kind of it's harder to remember things. You have some of those symptoms. And that's what they were looking at here, right?
Exactly. The most of the people in this study have what's called mild cognitive impairment. And that means that I'm not remembering as well as I used to, but perhaps not as well as I ought to. So this is the very earliest stages often of what becomes more serious Alzheimer's disease later. So they were getting patients who were very early in the disease process, and that's where it seemed to slow. And again, for people at that stage, that's important.
Yeah. The challenge to this is that some patients experience brain swelling or brain bleeding, right? And so you have to weigh when you come to the, you know, the practical use of this medication. Does the, you know, moderate or mild slowing of the cognitive decline, is it good enough to be worth the risk of brain swelling or brain bleeding?
Sure. So that's the honest discussion that the clinician needs to have with the patient and family. We've got a drug that may, in fact, slow down this process, try to keep you where you are right now for maybe several months to maybe a year. But it does exist in the context of a risk of causing brain swelling, brain bleeding. Now, we can monitor that with scans and follow that along. Right. And if there's a suggestion of it happening, we could drop the dose of the drug, stop the drug, et cetera. But it's still there and it's real.
How much is this drug going to cost?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question. You know, the kerfuffle a year ago with the other drug called aducanumab came out at an outrageous price. So we don't know right now, actually. And we're hopeful that the company is going to price it at a responsible level, given the number of people and older people who have this. And of course, then the next big question is who's going to pay for it?
Right.
Is CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, going to pick up the bill? Are private payers going to pick up the bill? Maybe, but I think this will be a discussion that will roll itself out over the next several months.
Yeah, that's always a tough one, for sure. We're talking right now with Dr. Ronald Peterson, a neurologist, the director of Mayo Clinic's Alzheimer's Disease Research Center and the Mayo Clinic Study of Aging. Where are we on research when it comes to Alzheimer's disease? I think the latest number I saw was something like 6 million Americans, is that right, have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's? That's so many. It's so heartbreaking.
50 million.
Yeah.
Worldwide, 50 million, yeah. So I think we are making significant progress. This, of course, is a step in the right direction. But another factor that has come into play is that we may be able to make the diagnosis and or predict who's going to develop clinical Alzheimer's symptoms from blood tests. Hmm. We at Mayo and other people around the country, around the world, are working on blood tests that may characterize what's going on in the brain. And that will be incredibly important because now we can reach out to people in rural areas in Minnesota. We can reach out to other underserved populations, African-American, Hispanics, who may not have access to these techniques that are needed to document the disease. But by blood tests, we'll be able to do that. So that's a big breakthrough.
And then what happens if you're able to kind of, you know, predict that?
Well, I think the next step for a drug like lecanemab or other drugs that are under development is if they work in the symptomatic phase of the disease, meaning people with mild cognitive impairment, mild dementia, might they better not be applied earlier in the disease process? So we would now take a blood test, see if the person has the tendency to develop Alzheimer's disease, and treat them before the symptoms arise. This is what we do in heart disease.
Yeah.
We look at cholesterol.
Yeah.
If it's elevated, we don't wait for the heart attack. We treat it early when the cholesterol is elevated to prevent the heart attack. That's where we're headed with Alzheimer's disease research.
Yeah, which would be very powerful for sure. I know it's a
scary, prevention.
Yeah, it's a scary thing for people when they have it in their family, wondering, is this going to happen to me too?
Absolutely. It's very common.
Yeah. Dr. Ronald Peterson, Director of Mayo Clinic Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, with a little bit of insight, making me feel a little more excited than I was to begin with about this about this new drug. We appreciate your insight today and your work to try to find answers to this really awful, awful disease. Thanks, Doc.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It is 4:48. Wolves Wednesday and pink tickets, all of that happening before Henry Lake. His show is at 6, and then the Wolves pregame at 6:30, and the tip at 7. Right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.